Christ, that we can come and approach you, and you hear our voice, you hear our prayers, you respond according to your will. And God, we thank you for the forgiveness of sin that comes through your Son. And God, we've got a house full. Father, we have a number of visitors. We have people that have come from different areas and walks of life. And Lord, there's a different story with each family and each individual. And you know what that story is. And I pray, Father, that you will speak to hearts accordingly. We want your will to be done. We want your people to be blessed. And Father, we want you to be blessed by what we're doing here. The songs that we sing, the word of God that we preach or teach in the Sunday school class. Lord, the times we bow at your altar, we want it to all be something that is worshipful, something that you're pleased with. Father, bless the kids in the back. We're so privileged, Lord, to have so many kids. And I ask your blessings over each one of them as they're being taught. Father, we thank you for our time together, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And shortly, we'll go over to John chapter 3, and that's where we'll stay. Do you ever hate for certain things to come to an end? I mean, you're kind of enjoying every moment of something particular, and suddenly the clock starts winding down, and someone starts stacking chairs and folding up tables, and then finally they hit the lights, and it's all over. And you're like, oh, man, I was just getting started. I really was enjoying that. I really don't want that to come to an end. I'm that way when we get together as a family, when I have my kids and my grandkids with us. I'm that way when we have church activities, things back in summer hall, banquets and things like that. I'm that way with youth camp. When we go to youth camp, it's such an enjoyable time that week, and I hate it when Thursday evening rolls around, know we're going to get up and travel home the next morning. I just enjoy that sort of thing. We have an old saying, all good things must come to an end. Our life proves that time and time again. So we're going to get to our text in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In verse 24, the Bible says, "Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death." This particular text is primarily referring to the return of Jesus Christ, but it makes a point that stands true to every life, and it's this. In verse 24, "Then cometh the end." Now, whether we are here when the Lord returns or not, one way or another, our life is going to come to an end. Now, that's not a pleasant subject. That's not what we enjoy talking about. That's not the sort of thing you like to hear. But the fact is, life is one of those good things that we enjoy and we like, and it's precious to us, but it's going to come to an end. It's going to come to an end. And we don't want it to be over. We don't want it to stop. But the fact is, we've got to consider that it is going to happen one way or another. It may be by disease. It may be, I know y'all had a bottle of water. Thank you. A bottle of water for me. It may be by disease. Or it could be natural causes. It could be a tragic accident. It could be any number of things. But death has a 100% success rate. In fact, C.S. Lewis wrote back in the times of World War II, he wrote this. He said, "Actually, war does not increase the number of deaths here on earth, because death is total to each generation." In other words, the war doesn't create more death. Every person's going to die anyway. Now, it might come sooner because of war than it normally would have or might have otherwise, but the success rate of death is 100%. It's never going to be less, and it's never going to be more. There's no way around it. There's not anything that we can do to stop it. Death comes to everyone. Now, I noticed a verse this last week when I was reading my Bible on Wednesday. If you're in the same Bible schedule that I am, it came in Psalms chapter 89, verse 48. I'm so sorry. It comes in verse 89. chapter 89, verse 48. Watch this. It says, what man is he that liveth and shall not see death? Shall he deliver his soul from the hand of the grave? I stumbled across that verse. I've never noticed it before, but it's a simple question. Is there anyone who can cheat death? Is there anyone that can avoid the grave? The answer to that is no. Not a single person. I've watched several programs on TV about particular celebrities that have died prematurely. Of course, there are beaucoup of them that have died tragically, maybe a drug overdose or an accident or suicide and such. There's a numbers of them. But the ones that strike me the most are the stories relating to people that are diagnosed with a terminal disease. You got people like Patrick Swayze and Michael Landon and Farrah Fawcett, and even Alex Trebek now has pancreatic cancer. And you see these people, they have huge celebrity status. They're famous. They are household names. And they're larger than life in our eyes in many ways. But yet there's not one thing they can do to stop their imminent death. Michael Landon didn't have enough money to fix it. Patrick Swayze couldn't get it fixed. At Farrah Fawcett, it doesn't matter. The grave does not discriminate. And so our text says, then cometh death. We can try to fight it. Of course, we all. It's instinctive for us to try to fight and to avoid death. We can even maybe prolong our life by maintaining good health, but we're never going to avoid it. It's never going to happen. We may take every safety precaution known to man, but we're not going to cheat death in the end. And by the way, have you noticed our obsession with safety? It drives me nuts. I mean, you have to wear a helmet to ride a bicycle. They even have you ride, now people ride horses with a helmet. And this is what really got me during the severe weather season here a month or two ago. They're giving with the tornadoes around the country, they're giving you, telling you safety precautions to take. And it used to be, say, hey, go to the center room in the house or go to the basement or whatever. Now they're telling you go to the basement and put a helmet on. That's true. I'm like, can you see your family sitting around with a helmet on, all of you in the basement? But that's safety. It's just crazy. And I don't know, we're going to have our kids running around with helmets on when they're toddlers. You can't tackle the quarterback. You can't do anything because they're trying to, safety, you know what they're trying to do? They're trying to take fun out of life. I mean, honestly, some of the best times I ever had was watching someone get hurt. I mean, it's just, really, they're trying to take fun. So anyway, safety, safety, safety. And so we experienced a little something this last week, Trish and I. She had a slow leak in one of her back tires on her 4Runner. And we normally, what we would normally do is just air that up every other day for about 8 months. And that's the way we normally, but then people come to you and they say, oh, you got a flat tire. And I'm like, no, it's just flat on the bottom. The rest of it's fine. Okay, but we decided we would go get it fixed, or she would, and she went to one of these name brand tire places, discount tire or something like that. I wasn't with her, but this fella that dealt with her looked at her tire and he said, ma'am, I can't fix your tire because it's oversized for the rim. Folks, that's what's wrong with America right there, okay? I mean, you got kids running around with these 22-inch rims, the tires look like O-rings, and they won't fix the tire that came on the vehicle when we bought it from the dealership. You see, it's nuts. We've gone nuts about safety because why? We don't want to die. We don't want anybody to die. But you can't cheat death. It's going to come to everyone. You remember the days when you were just kind of concerned about having four tires, that's all? I mean, three wouldn't work, you know that. So four tires of any kind. I mean, 265, 35 on one deal, 235, 70 on the other side, just as long as you got four tires, it didn't matter. Maybe there's a little wire showing. If the wire's showing, that's fine. It's when the wires begin to fray that you kind of start worrying about it. But not now. I'm telling you, it's safety, safety, safety. But we can operate as safe as we possibly can. And the fact is, then cometh the end. So what's the approach to take? Face it head on. Address it. Deal with it. And you say, well, I just don't really want to talk about that this morning. Well, we got to talk about it. It's going to come. It comes. It's all around us. We have to face it and deal with it. And be prepared for it. Trisha's been after me to get a wheel for the last few years. And I'm like, why do you want to get a wheel? You know, and she says, these kids, you know, they we got to prepare for these sort of things. We get the kids, they're not going to know what to do with it. I said, well, you'll take care of it if I die, and I'll take care of it if you die. She said, what if we die together? And I'm like, man, we'll just sit up in heaven and chuckle as the bank comes and gets one thing at a time. I said, they'll be so disappointed as they just realize we don't own anything. But prepare. Well, there's a better way to prepare than making a will. And that's a sensible thing to do. But there's a better way to prepare. But we can't avoid the subject because it's not pleasant. And we can't say, because the Bible says right here, we just read it, then cometh the end. We can't plead ignorant. We can't say, so God, well, I just didn't know. No, it's all around us. God told us that you find it all the way through the Bible. Death, 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 death. It's spelled out. It's written everywhere. All the graveyards that you pass, it's written. There's hundreds and hundreds of stones that say, was born on such and such date and died on such and such date. It's written there. It's even written on giant signs above our highways. You see, 2,576 people have died on Texas roads this year, and it's written before us there. It's just a fact. It's a known fact. Death comes. So let me spend the remainder of our time this morning telling us what we need to do about it. Okay, you say, well, now who are you to tell me what to do about death? You're right. I'm really nobody to do that. But would you listen to God? He's the creator of all this outfit. He's the one that made it, and he's the one in charge, and he's the one that says how it all plays out. So would you listen to him? Well, there's one verse, and you can go to John chapter 3, and there's one verse that every person in the United States has heard at one time or another. And it's verse 16. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There are two phrases in that verse that I think we're all kind of looking for as humans. Should not perish. Don't you like the sound of that? I do. And the other one is, shall have everlasting life. Isn't that what we're looking for? We really want to live forever? Remember, we don't want good things to come to an end. And life is a good thing. It's precious to us, and we want it to keep going. So God is telling us everything that we're looking for is found in Jesus, his only begotten Son. God's whole purpose for sending his Son Jesus to the world was to provide for mankind what is needed to be right with him and live forever. You might have the wrong ideal about who Jesus is. You might think that Jesus is a killjoy of some kind, or he's some ambassador from God who's come down here to tell us everything we're doing wrong. You might look at Jesus as someone that's just here to take the fun out of everything and throw a monkey wrench in our plans. But nothing could be further to the truth than from the truth. And verse 17 tells us that. It says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn. You know what he's saying there? God's clearly saying, Jesus didn't come to condemn us. I want you to notice a word that permeates these verses. World. World, world, world. It's used four times in two verses. That's God's focus. His love for the world. There is something about this world that draws God's mercy and his compassion. And the question is, what is it? It's this, that the world is condemned. You're condemned. I'm condemned. Everything's condemned. Our world is condemned already. You don't believe me? Then look around you. Again, we have the issue of death. Everybody's faced with that. No one's exempt. Everybody is going to go across that threshold someday. And by the way, when we cross that threshold, everything's going to be stripped away. Everything that we held to, importantly, is going to be taken out of the equation. Our looks and your chiseled physique that we were at, somewhat like you see here, is going to be stripped away. Your hard-earned money is going to be stripped away. Billionaires even die. All your achievements will be stripped away. Celebrities die. Great athletes die. Great statesmen and presidents die. All our relationships even are going to be stripped away. The matriarchs of great families and the patriarchs of great families are going to die. Now, they may leave a legacy, but they won't stay. You see, every person that makes tracks across this planet will be taken out of here by death. The world is already condemned. We even see it in nature. Just this last week, the earth quaked violently in California, and I think even up in Washington State. A tropical storm has just hit, or even I think it made a Category 1 storm, a hurricane down here on the Gulf Coast, still raining down there now. The summer heat is coming, and so wildfires fires will soon rage across our land. Several weeks ago during the spring tornado season, tornadoes danced across the states. You see this death. There's widespread flooding in many areas of our nation. Volcanoes from time to time erupt angrily. And you can just go on and on and on because you see that this world is condemned. And that sounds like very bleak, and it sounds like just very negative, but it's just a fact. You see it in the thorns on a mesquite tree. You see it in a grass burr or a thistle. You see it in a snake bite. You hear it in the buzzing of flies on an animal carcass. The world is condemned. Everywhere there is death. The world is condemned. And so, I'm not trying to discourage you, but in fact it's healthy for us to see this reality because why? It steers us in the right direction. And it causes us to make the right decisions. What we see here in this text is God's reason for mercy and compassion towards this world is because the world is condemned and He wants to do something about it. He's compassionate toward it. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He doesn't want to see creation condemned. He's already done something about it. He gave His only begotten Son not to condemn, but notice the second part of the verse, but that the world through Him might be saved. That word saved simply means delivered. Jesus was brought, God brought His Son to deliver us from that condemnation we talked about that's already in place.